Well, it's my joy with you to be with you once again, opening God's Word, and I pray that we will have the Spirit speak to each one of us as we turn to Scripture. Join me in turning to the book of John, John chapter 20, and I'll read verse number 21. John chapter 20, and I'll read verse number 21, and we will spend some time in God's Word there. John chapter 20 and verse number 21. This is what the Word of God reads. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Won't you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your Word. Your Word is alive. I pray, dear God, today through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we will turn our hearts and be receptive to your Word today. Spirit of God, do only what you can do, and we rightly deserve all the praise, the glory, and the honor to you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. In 2009, I led our church team and had a burden to walk the 1 mile radius around our church plant in Norwich, Connecticut. It was a big task because we are living in an inner city, and we asked the Lord to lead us and guide us. So we began to pray, and we sent teams to knock on doors within the 1 mile radius around our church. Some of the students came back and said, "Sean, we have met a gentleman by the name of Tom White, and he has requested you to visit him at his apartment." And so I said, "Where does he live?" He said, "He lives on 198 Franklin Street. And the church was located in 169 Franklin Street. And so if you see that picture, there's some beads on that cane that he has in his hand. We were sharing the gospel with the wordless book with the colors of the gospel. And so I went and visited Mr. Tom White. And his hair is way long, going down to his back. And this is all that he had in his apartment. He sat on a wheelchair. He had boxes on both sides and a piece of timber that made his table. He had a hospital bed with no sheets and just a pillow. And he had a bathroom. And so I knocked the door. He invited me in. And I sat on the floor, opening my Bible. And he was on his wheelchair. And he asked me, he said, "Sean, these students, they came from your church, correct?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, please share with me more about this Jesus Christ that you're talking about." Mr. Tom White was a prisoner of war and served in the U.S. military. So I got to share with him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when I came to the point that Jesus loves you, my brother, tears were rolling down his face into his beard. And I began to break down. And then he said, "Well, Sean, I want this Jesus, and I want to have a relationship with this Jesus." And so I led him to Christ. And then after we prayed, he said, "Well, I'm 73 years old. Next week, I'll be turning 74. And thank you for making the time to come and visit." And he said, "The only people that I have interaction with are the people who deliver meals on wheels. They will come knock the door, I'll open the door, they give me my meal, and they will leave. And that's the only people that I can come in contact with because of my situation." And he has no family in the city. So he said, "Next week, Wednesday, I'll be turning 74. And I said, "Okay." So I went back to our church. I said, "Okay, here's an opportunity. We're going to bake a cake for Mr. Tom White. And then we had some people get some linen and some pillows and some bedding. And then we got a table and got balloons. And I went the next day and gave him a haircut. He didn't mind me and my haircutting skills. So I just cut his hair the best I could. And then we did his laundry for him. Next Wednesday, knock on the door and we invade his humble abode." And so we went straight into the bedroom, we made the beds for him, and he was like, it was like a transformation happening in his home, the home improvements, all right? And so we went and we set up a table, had some balloons, and we began to sing Happy Birthday. tears running down his face. And then he told me a statement I will never forget the rest of my life. He said, "For 73 years, I was just an existence. From the time I accepted Jesus Christ, I began to live." And I said, "What do you mean, Tom?" He said, "I knew about Jesus, but I didn't know how to have a relationship with him." And I came and asked our church, how could it be that we have two blocks away from our church someone who does not have a true understanding of our gospel message? How could it be that no one will pay him a visit and show him the love of Jesus Christ? How could it be? Tom asked, "Can I have a second piece of cake?" I said, "Sure." I didn't realize later when we booked him in the VA hospital that he's diabetic. So maybe I'm not a doctor. So I said, "I have three pieces, you know, and go see Jesus soon." No, I didn't say that. But but how can it be, Olive? How can it be that people who know who Jesus is and they see us, we are Jesus-loving people, that we don't give them a true understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ? How could it be? One of the scholars, Martin Keller, said a century ago that mission is a mother of theology. Mission is a mother of theology. Many people ask me, "What does it mean to leave your home and be a missionary?" So I shared a story. But I said, we can also be missional in our own communities. Being missional in our own communities means living and being a missionary even if you don't have to leave your city. You be missional. You shine anywhere, anytime, everywhere, the gospel light of Jesus Christ. When pastor came to the staff and said, "God has placed a burden on his heart," let me tell you, if you and I do not show up to tell the 2-mile radius that lives around Olive Baptist Church, then God will raise his own people to go do what we have shamefully failed to do. The gospel of Jesus Christ, which you and I coined the term the good news. So last week we talked about just show up. Let me tell you, when you show up where Jesus is working, you just need to show up. Your availability is all we need, and the Spirit of God will work through you that the good news of Jesus Christ will be preached by the lifestyle that we live and also by the spoken word of the gospel into our 2-mile radius. So allow me today to share, to challenge you, to challenge myself, how you and I can be a great commission people. You see, many of us are great commission preachers, but we seldomly live the great commission people lives. Allow me to share with you. Number one, Jesus embodied the mission. You know one thing about the many things I love about Jesus? Jesus never calls us to do something that he never did. Jesus embodied the mission. Jesus not only modeled sacrifice on the cross, my friend, he also modeled sacrifice through his lifestyle. He sacrificially lived and he sacrificially died so you and I can sacrificially live with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died so that you and I can live. So you and I need to be a going people for a coming Christ. Jesus is coming soon. And I pray that when he's coming, we will be living sent lives. We will be living lives with intentionality, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, whomever we come in contact with. Share the good news of Jesus Christ. So Jesus came in John chapter 17, verse number 1 to 5, Jesus prays to the Father. This is the words of his prayer. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom have given him, all you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you have gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." Those five verses are packed to the fact that Jesus Christ is sent by God the Father. I came from you, I did what you called me to do, and I'm returning to my rightful place. So you and I need to understand that Jesus is a sent Savior, and he's calling a sent people to go to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who don't know. You know, knowing Jesus is not enough. Having a personal relationship is what he's talking about. See, you and I just don't go make converts. We are called to make disciples and multiply disciples so they can go and multiply disciples. And that's what God has called us to do. And throughout Scripture, Jesus modeled, because he was the ultimate inviter and the ultimate sender. He invited people to himself throughout his public ministry, and he sent them, and they went and made a difference. Well, think with me for a minute. He invited ordinary fishermen, discipled them, made them fishers of men. He invited a Samaritan woman to drink of the water. She'll never thirst no more. And he sent her to Samaria. How about the man living outside the city gates who had leprosy? He invited him to him, healed him, and he went out and he shared the good news of, I met Jesus. Look at me. Once I was a leper, but now I'm healed. I have met Jesus Christ. So throughout Scripture we see, last week talked about the Great Commission. Jesus gave the Great Commission to the 11 disciples and about 500 people. Read the book of Acts. They came to Jesus, was challenged, and they went and changed the world. I shared with you in the book of Acts. When they came to Thessalonica, the people of Thessalonica said, the people that have turned the world upside down have now came to our city. Can we truly say that we can be used of God to turn our city upside down for the glory of God? You see, Jesus modeled this. We are a sent people because we have a coming Christ. Soon and very soon, we are going to see our King. And I'm telling you, my friend, serve the Lord while you have an opportunity to serve the Lord. Share the good news of Jesus Christ while you have an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Our Jesus came, died, so that you and I can know what it is to have a relationship with Jesus and take that gospel message. And if you want to be more and more like Jesus, then you will live more and more like Jesus. You will give your time more and more like Jesus. You will give your resources more and more like Jesus. But you see, you and I want to be more and more like Jesus, but we have a small print that we want to bring to Jesus. There is no small print. Our lives are not our own. We were purchased at a price, and that currency is the blood of Jesus Christ. And we belong to a master. We belong to a King. And when our King says, bow your knees, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Glory to God the Father. And so he is coming and challenging our hearts not to do something. You see, Jesus was a door knocker. He knocked on Zacchaeus' door. He knocked on Matthew's door. He knocked on Mary and Martha's door. So he knocked on doors. This is not rocket science, the shadow of the cross. It's just being obedient to who Jesus wants to reach our community. I want to challenge you today. It's not that we're not going to show up. We're going to show up. Amen. We're going to show up. If you want to see Pastor after 1 month, meet him there in the foyer. He'll be excited to see you. Let me tell you that. But we need to live a life, a sent life. And so many people told me, said, Sean, you told just show up. Where can we go? Well, let me encourage you. Just go and serve in the nursery. Just go and serve in the children's ministry. Just go and serve with the international students, with Brandon Henry. Just go and serve in a high school. Many of us have to move. We're just going to move from here to there and serve. You see, we got this big idea in our minds. When we go to serve, we need to learn another language. I love international missions. I'm a result of international missions. I'm a fourth generation Christian from international missions. You're international mission board. You all gave, they came and showed my grandmother, my parents. Well, I'm the third generation. You all sent missionaries. But let me tell you that we also have a responsibility to serve our own community. We also have a responsibility to serve our own ministries within the church. Because we are sent. And perhaps God is calling you from one couch to the other couch in your own living room to share the gospel with your own child. You're just going to change one seat to the other seat in your living room. You see, we are sent people. We have a gospel. We have the answer. Andre Crouch wrote a song before, Jesus is the answer for this world today. He still is. He will always be. Jesus is the answer. So God is calling us, you and I, to be sent, to live sent lives, because Jesus Christ is a sent Savior. We are sent people, and Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back. Please don't let you and I to be unwise investors in what God has entrusted to us. We have a sent Savior. He modeled what it is to send. Not only we have a sent Savior, not only we have he embodied a mission, but the Holy Spirit empowers the mission. You see, you and I are not called to mission by our own strength. The Holy Spirit drives the mission. The Holy Spirit drives the mission. The Spirit does the work. We just show up and ask the Spirit of God to use us in this mission. It's the Holy Spirit. Let me encourage you to know God as you should, to love God as you should, to obey God as you should, to trust God as we should, to worship God as we should. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 reminds us, do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. But do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, in Connecticut, whenever the snow falls, we say, hey, you know, we have one snowflake, two snowflakes. When all those snowflakes get together, they stop traffic. Oh, yeah, they stop traffic. We love it when it falls, but we hate it when it stops traffic. Think with me for a minute. What if you and I, that section, you are watching online, that we show up, people full of the Holy Spirit, we will turn Pensacola upside down for the glory of Jesus Christ. And I, you know, Saturday mornings, I love to play golf Saturday mornings. Sean loves to play golf Saturday mornings. Sean likes to watch soccer Saturday mornings. But let me tell you, if God has put a word in our pastor's heart, Sean is going to be there Saturday morning. And so are you. Or you'll be not in submission to the man of God that God has placed, our call, our shepherd. See, the Spirit of God is working. And for you to live in the will of God, you got to live in the Spirit of God. You cannot say, I'm living the will of God outside the Word of God. One preacher once said, you know, it's the will of God to use the Spirit of God, to use the Word of God, to make the people of God like the Son of God. There's no other way. You got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot love like Jesus wants you to love. You cannot give like Jesus wants you to give. You cannot worship. You cannot trust apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brought you here today. This is just not an ordinary gathering. This is a people filled with God and seeking God, filled with His presence, filled with His Spirit, and He has brought us together for a greater cause, to extend His kingdom here on earth. So if you're going to live a life influenced by the power of the Holy Spirit, you've got to let the Word of God control your life. And you and I, my friend, do not have editorial right to this Word. It is what it is. If you want to live the will of God, you live the Word of God. And how do you live a life led by the Spirit? This is how you live it. You pursue pure lives. You confess your sin. You deny self. You surrender to God's will. And you don't depend on your power. You depend on His power. God is not calling you and I to do His work with our strength. We are getting to go to war here, my friend. Or let me say, we are fixing to go to war, y'all. Amen. You got to get suited up, full of the Holy Spirit, and say, Lord, use me. Work through me. I want to live the rest of my life on the tip of the spear. You know, Daniel Early, our new staff member, challenged us on Wednesday, talking to our Warrington core team. After I heard this statement, I said, man, I think we made a right hire here. This is what Mr. Daniel said. He said, Jesus is fighting for us. We just advance. You hear the statement? Jesus is fighting for us. We just advance. We are already victorious people. Sin has already been conquered. The death already has been conquered. We just advance. We disobey our commander in chief and advance with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he called us to do. But the greatest enemy in the kingdom of God is self-sufficiency. We think we can do it on our own strength. Well, before the day of Pentecost came, there was a prayer gathering. And God was preparing people in prayer to be used of God at Pentecost. And so whenever you see the work of God, we need to be a people of God seeking Him. We need to ask God, give me the same burden you gave Pastor for our neighborhood. Give me that same burden, because the Spirit of God comes to empower us. It empowers us. And the deeper we grow in who Christ is, the more He challenges us to share. You see, you and I, we don't tell our neighbors about Jesus because you want them to come to know Jesus. You tell them about Jesus because you have come to know about Jesus. That overflowing joy that I learned something new about Jesus, I can't wait to tell someone. Because everyone who encountered Jesus Christ in this book, their lives have been changed. They went and told someone about Jesus. They went and shared with someone about who this Jesus is. And Pastor did excellently in the book of Acts, where even the guard that was chained to the Apostle Paul, he went home and told about Jesus, this prisoner he's talking about. You see, we are called to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse number 7, it says, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Let me tell you who lives in you. Greater is He that lives in me than he that is in the world. If you follow Pastor on Twitter, he said, don't follow the devil this morning. It's foolish. Don't follow a loser. Follow a winner. Follow Jesus Christ. He's a winner. How do you know He's a winner? He won me. I'm just telling you, He won me. And I can't keep quiet after the day He won me. I want to go tell somebody, you know what, I'm on the winning team. You keep on being on the losing team, sooner or later you'll be on the winning team. And many of you, yeah, were on the losing team. And the losing team promised you all the bells and whistles, but they didn't promise you a sincere heart. They didn't promise you a righteous life. So move today. Move from a losing team to the winning team. And Jesus is a victor. Jesus is victorious. Jesus rose from the dead. And that same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead now lives in you. Now He's calling you to go and make a difference in our community. Go. Go. Acts 1:8. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You know, the Great Commission, my friend, is not personality driven. It's Holy Spirit driven. And so a lot of time people say, you know what, it's not my personality, it's not my character. You know, I'm yet to read a book. I told you, The Introvert and The Great Commission. There's no book. Even the introvert will talk about Jesus, let me tell you, all right? So it's your competency. You want to do it. You want to share with someone. It's your competency. So don't use your personality to say, you know what, I'm not wired that way. Come on, who wired you? Who wired you? The tech people come ask you, why are you talking about the tech, you know? But who wired you? He wired you for a purpose. So don't go to the Creator and complain about His handiwork. Because you are a masterpiece. You are a masterpiece. Read the book of Ephesians. You're a masterpiece. And when you complain about this masterpiece, you are insulting the artist. You are insulting the Creator. So when you say, I can't do it, He didn't create you for you to say, I can't do it. He created you to say, yes, I can do it. That's what the Bible is talking about. So many people have different personalities and say, well, you know, but let me share with you just a couple. Peter was outspoken and impulsive. Barnabas was warm and accepting. Lydia was a risk taker and hospitable. Paul was a dominant and direct person. Timothy was withdrawn and reserved. Mary was busy and meticulous. Apollos was studious and reflective. Titus was organized and strategic. Thomas was skeptical and detailed. Luke was educated and analytical. Every one of you falls under these categories. But God used them. God used Dr. Luke. God used them because they said, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be used for the kingdom of God. Man, don't let this opportunity go by. Be used, be used, be used. That is why when you look for deacons, we say what in Acts chapter 7? Choose men full of the Holy Spirit. It's Spirit-driven. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 17, the sword of the Spirit. It's a spiritual battle that you and I need to come under the subjection of the work of the Holy Spirit, and He will work through us. Continuously being filled with the Holy Spirit. God is not calling you for a task to love your neighbor on your own strength. Because on our own strength, we will not love our neighbor. Live the life God has called you to live. Live for Him. Number three, as sent people, a great commission people, the church is the instrument of this mission. Listen to this. The church is the instrument of this mission. We have God, Abraham, Israel, Christ, church. So God, in His divine authority, a sovereign God, chooses the church to display the glory of Christ. An instrument. You know, tomorrow morning I'm going to see the dentist. I think my dentist is here. Here's he up there. Amen. There was a dentist up here today. You know, I love my dentist friend, but I sit on his chair, I'm scared. I don't know about you, but man, amen. We've got a witness here. Every time he pulls a new instrument, I'm like, oh Lord, what's that going to do? You see, you don't take a big instrument to do a small job. You don't take a small instrument to take a big job. There's some small, sharp instruments, let me tell you. Because that instrument does a specific task. The church's specific task is to display the glory of Christ. That's a task. That's a church as an instrument. So God is working through the church. The church is empowered by the Holy Spirit. He's moving through the church, and He wants us to go and be witnesses. In our house, whenever I go home, there's two things on TV. It's either the food channel, which is good, because I look at the screen, I'm hungry, all right? Yeah, that food channel is something else. And there's HGTV. So it's either I'm going to get good food, or all the good ideas Destiny's getting, I'm going to get broke. It's one of those two. Amen. I love you. You are somewhere, all right? You watch Flip Flop Atlanta, you watch Fixer Upper, they give you all these good ideas. Then at the end, they tell you how much it costs, right? Anyway. But you notice whenever people come to look at these houses, they say, okay, how many bedrooms? Nobody asks, who's my neighbor going to be? You notice? How many of you watch HGTV and you saw someone working and the people came to buy the house ask, who's my neighbors? They never ask who's the neighbor because people don't care about neighbors. Am I right? That's why it's called apartments, apart from. That's true. They go into the garage, come out of the garage. That's it. That's society today. When I was in Connecticut, I oversaw 27 church planters. They asked Sean, which is my day off? I told them, you will take the day off the day your neighbor is off. So what are you talking about? Get to know your neighbor. The day he is off cutting the grass, you take off, cut the grass. The day he's outside cooking barbecue, you invite yourself and get to know him. Amen. Because you and I, as Christians, we make a so rigid schedule that we forget someone's lost next to us. Because we are busy living the found life and we forgot those who are lost. So nobody asks, you sell houses, you build houses. No one asks you, so who my neighbor's going to be like? Nobody, don't care. Jesus cares. Jesus cares, and he says, you know what? If you want to be witnesses and instrument in the local church, there's three things that you need to do. Number one, you need to love sincerely. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 9, love sincerely. Let love be genuine. Harbor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. You and I need to have sincere, genuine, compassionate love for one another. And you ask me, how do I get that strength? To the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to work through you so you can love sincerely. Love at no cost. Love is more than an emotion. It's a sacrifice. You know, people tell me, you know what? Hey, Sean, I love you to death. No, you don't. Jesus loved me to death, not you. Shadow of the cross. Our campus in Warrington, God is giving you and I an opportunity to love sincerely. He's giving you and I an opportunity to love sincerely. So God is using Olive Baptist Church. God wants to use you, those who are watching online. God wants to use you. Just be that instrument in His hand. Just be that instrument in His hand. Number two, the church, the instrument of this mission, to serve sacrificially. To serve sacrificially. Take a good look at the word sacrificially. Don't serve God in your comfort. Serve Him sacrificially. And last week we talked about, God told you to go, you need to ask Him permission to stay. Sacrificially. Scripture is teaching us, look around our community. There's hurting people, homeless people, helpless people, hopeless people, hungry people. Let me tell you, rich people are hopeless too, and rich people are hurting people too. It's not only the poor people are hurting, and the poor people are homeless. Well, if you are without Jesus, you are hurting and you're hopeless. I don't care what you have, because what you have cannot have a relationship with you. You can't have a relationship with your Ferrari. You can have a relationship with Jesus. You can't have a relationship with what you have. It's hopeless. You can have a relationship with Jesus. And there's hope in Jesus. Serve sacrificially. You know, we have the millennial. This is a millennial crowd. So everyone talking about, so what's the new gospel for the millennial? There's no secret sauce for the millennials. There's no secret bullet. The same gospel that saved the boomers will save you. It's called Jesus Christ. He is the all-sufficient Savior. You don't need skinny jeans and everything else. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Come to Jesus. And this millennial generation, they want to hold their children's hand and walk the streets. They want to model. They want to get things done. We call this transcendence. Don't go tell the millennial, oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. He said, I got 50 friends. Show them a friend that matters when they need you. So transcendence is mean, bring your gospel down to my doing good. And we together, I'll bring my children. I have a millennial guy, he's here. He says, Sean, tell me what I can do with my two sons and my wife. Show me. Show me a widow's yard I can go and clean. I need to see my children seeing us serve and joining us serve. So millennials don't need anything else. They're just reminding you and I that the gospel is boots on the ground. That's what they're reminding us. That the gospel is boots on the ground. Oh, we have forgotten to love our neighbor. We have forgotten to love our neighbor. We don't serve sacrificially. We serve comfortably. Tell me about this Jesus that you know. Is there anything comfortable about this Jesus? Is everything sacrificial about this Jesus? He went out of His way to Samaria at the well. Something you and I need to go out of our way to serve somebody. You love sincerely. You serve sacrificially. And third, you practice hospitality. You know, you and I always, we use this term, this dictum, this is what we always say when we see people around. Well, God helps those who help themselves. How many of you heard that term? Yeah? Well, God helps those who help themselves. And you think it's a Bible verse. No, it's not. In fact, it's a verse in the Quran. Let me read to you what this book is called. It's right here. It's Al-Rad. The book Al-Rad, chapter 13, and verse number 11. You never knew you memorized the verse in the Quran, did you? No, you didn't. In the Quran, the book of Al-Rad, chapter 13, verse number 11, it says, "Indeed, Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change what is in themselves." So paraphrase, God only. You can help your sinful state. You see, the problem is sin, my friend. The problem is not drugs. The problem is sin. That we have come to love something else apart from a savior. It's called an idol. And we make that drive us. Who drives you? Jesus. They're no good. They can't help themselves. Can you help yourself if you have sin in your heart? No. Can you clean the sin in your heart? No. If you could, why would Jesus come? Jesus is the answer for this world today. Practice hospitality. Practice hospitality. The word hospitable, it means to be a lover of strangers. Not merely entertaining your friends over and over. That's not called hospitality. That's called hanging out. And so you have all your family at home. You said, "I love to be hospitable." No, you don't. And furthermore, the word hospitable, Romans 12, 13, is to be a lover of strangers. Because back in the Bible days, it was dangerous. The inns were dangerous. The inns were evil. That's what Jesus went, in a trough. But they could not afford. So whenever strangers were going by, believers will be hospitable to them. Oh, you and I, when was the last time you entertained a stranger in your home? But in your home, you got, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So bring all the Christians that we can find, and I will cook and feed them. You're not being hospitable. You're hanging out. Now, still invite me. I don't mean don't invite me. Don't get super spiritual now, but I'm just telling you. Listen to this. Stand loose. I know this is on your heart. I heard you talk about it. Do you know, in 2015, 2016, we have 1,043,839 international students came to visit in America. Listen to this word. In 2015, 2016, we have 1,043,839 international students came to study in America. Most of them come from China, India, Saudi Arabia, South Korea, and Canada. When was the last time you entertained an international student in your home? Where's Brandon Henry? Is he here somewhere? He's serving in the UWF campus. Go see Brandon Henry. He's here somewhere. Amen. When Destiny and I came to America, I never heard of Thanksgiving. So I went to a church, and people say, "Well, Sean and Destiny, you have a happy Thanksgiving?" And I went home like, "What's Thanksgiving? What's going on?" We never had a turkey, because all the Christian people had their own turkey for their families. So good thing Subway was open. Yeah, laugh at me. But we'll go home and do the very same thing. And Pastor has a heart for UWF. You want to be hospitable? Entertain strangers. Entertain people who don't look like you. Who don't talk like you. That means me. When was the last time? A church without a clear understanding of its mission is a church without power. God will not call you and I to serve on our own strength. He calls you and I to serve with the power of the Holy Spirit. Is this not the missions department to do missions? If you believe in Jesus Christ, you're a missionary. It's not the MVO's job to do humanitarian aid. It's you and I. When we were hungry, He fed us. Amen? So this morning when you left home, the first thing you did, you looked through the window and you saw a need. The second thing you do when you leave home, you look in the mirror and you admire yourself. The third thing you do before you leave home, you look at the door. Will you open the door and make a difference?